The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationandmuscle.com. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our 30-day program. Both books, the 30-day is brand new. The top 10's been out, but there's 10 paragraphs. Every paragraph now, it's 5 brand new bullet points. As far as the 30-day program, this is a program that you can build upon the rest of your life. We introduce, finally, in a program to our audience, family, the conventional squat with the overload in the power rack, a lot of sandbag work on the middle of the weekday, and, of course, the last day of the week, we're doing the bench press, and we go right into how you do lockouts. So check both of those out. All it is give us your email address, and you can download them both very easily. Also, too, our two biggest products to date, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle, are free right now, too. So if you want to go out and get some stuff that's proven to work, one was used. I use it with everybody here, but I use Strength Times Power to knock 43 pounds off Dennis, who basically looked like he was 9 months pregnant when he came here, and that's no bull. He was pre-diabetic. We got him down to 224 pounds in 6 months, and it might have been quicker, but he had a few things skeletally that we had to address and back him off. And then the Winner's Circle is the other product. That's 12 modules. It's all by myself. Stuff I did to date of that release, if you like power racks, sandbags, stones, iron boots, height shrugs, anything like that, I address all that. And those things are the meat and potatoes of weight training. And the endurance stuff we do here is unbelievable. So check both of those out. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the people that we have out there. There is an encyclopedia of knowledge out there. I don't know what it would cost to get the knowledge that's out there. It's all free, too. Go out, look it all over. Let us know. There's plenty of places you can comment. If there's things you'd like to hear or do or whatever, we're all ears. So check all that out, and we'll hopefully hear from you soon. Well, today, as everybody knows, this is one of my favorite times doing this show, and this is when we bring new men and women in here, and we call this show an introduction. And we have Douglas Graham on with us today, who is a gentleman I've seen out there. You know, it was all like in a big cycle. It was him, Paolo Veduto. It was Adrian O'Brien. I mean, the list, Paul Firepower Gray. We just had Paul on here. Fabulous show. I saw these gentlemen like in succession. And I was like, man, oh, man, because there's always people sending somebody to me or I go out and chase after them. And there's no bull with these guys. It's like I sent them a note. I'd like you to come on. You know, here's the link to the shows if you haven't heard them. Bang, bang, bang. Now I've got the 4 out of 4 on here, and I couldn't be happier. I'm going to give you a little information on Douglas. Number one, he's in the functional training. I've seen him do some amazing stuff out on Facebook. Kettlebells. Maces, clubs, and I don't think you're ever a form or anything, but he was a power lifter too, and he's going to give us a lot more when I bring him in right now. Douglas, welcome to the show, brother.
It's an absolute honor to be here amongst you. Eric, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Give our family anything you'd like about yourself, any way they can reach you, et cetera, and we'll start into the show, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you can reach me through Facebook, Douglas Graham. It used to be Douglas Funkvet Graham, but I don't know, somebody reported me for having an illegitimate middle name, so it's not so easy to find me anymore. But
oh my God,
you get those people, don't you? But you just walk on.
Yeah.
So you can get me there on Facebook, obviously. I won't be that hard to find in the circle. The website for the gym and everything else that we do is www.functional-living.co.uk. Or even if you just Google Functional Living, then the Origin Arts, the name of our gym, should probably come up. I've also underway got, I've been building my own Macy's, so I'm looking to sell them across the globe soon as well. And that'll be, it's up and running, but it will not be properly functioning for about another month, and that's my VitruvianMace.com. We've also got, for email, you know, functionalliving@hotmail.com. So, I mean, that's the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
I'll tell you what.
Anyone that wants to talk, they just send me a message. I'm always happy to help.
That's awesome, because I'm sure you're going to get some feedback from here, because there's so much stuff going, you know, between you four guys that are on here, and we got Donnie G. Fardino here. I mean, there is just tons of stuff here with so much association with clubs, and you know, Rick Brown's on here with us. It's just incredible the amount of guys that are on here and doing so many great things. We're gonna start right out first off, mm-hmm. and I ask everybody this, and I love to hear the comments, because it's usually a lot of times the same, but let's see if you got something a little different. As kids, a lot of us were very enamored with comics and cartoons, and it was usually my favorite, obviously, is The Incredible Hulk, if you heard me before. You know, Captain America, everybody's like all over the map, but it's usually that, or could have been your mother and father, a family member. You know, we had guys down the street that were big weightlifters that, you know, when you're 10, 11 years old, they look like giants at that point. Douglas, what was it that got you started in the physical culture, and or what was it, or who was it? How did you get into this, and how did that the bite of that get right into your system?
Well, I got into an early age, or quite an early age, not as early as some, certainly not most professional athletes, but I've never been a big sporty type person. So I got in it quite early and then dropped out and then got back into it and really got my teeth into it a little later. It started with judo at an early age, just say about 11 years old, something like that. I can't remember exactly. So I got into that, and, you know, it's judo, especially if you've got a good club, is fairly hard going. It's a full-on, full-contact sport. So I got into that, and obviously, I mean, I've been a really small guy my entire life. So I got into and trained with an ex-pro powerlifter. So again, you know, spitting sawdust, no messing type weight training. You know, you were coming out there feeling like your arms were going to float off away from your body, that kind of thing, you know. That's probably my first memory of weight training, was saying to my friend, it's a memory I'll never forget, it's coming out and saying, I feel like my arms are going to float off. They felt that dead and light, you know. So, you know, that's how it started. And then I dropped out of it because my art took I ended up in the softer art of music for many years. So I did that, and then I felt the call again back to martial arts. I mean, martial arts, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, Yuen Biao, and Brandon Lee especially, were big inspirations to me as a youth. So it was kind of natural that I would feel the call back to martial arts again. But coming from a judo background, I wanted something that wasn't tippy-tappy and that was full contact. So I gravitated originally towards Muay Thai. Did that for a few years, but at that point as well, I started on The Doors in my late teens, early 20s. So I started on The Doors, and for my sins, I was at that for about 13 years. But naturally, because I was in that environment, I wanted something that wasn't sport-orientated. And that's when I discovered Brandon's father. I was just sitting reading Bruce Lee's Tao Jeet Kune Do on the boat one day, and a guy came up to me and he went, oh, I see you're reading Bruce Lee's book there. And I said, yeah, yeah. And then he showed me his knuckles, which were all smashed up. And he's like, I've just been doing Jeet Kune Do in Glasgow. And that was kind of it. I was introduced to a man called Tommy Carruthers, who in JKD circles now is one of the, as far as I'm aware, still I've dropped out of all that, but is one of the biggest names. He was hailed by guys like Jesse Glover as being the new Bruce Lee and stuff like that. So I had the pleasure of training with him for a little bit and guys like Ted Wong, but it was Bruce's stuff that, and especially when I got into the training aspect, like his books like The Art of Expressing the Human Body, stuff like that.
Yep.
So it was really him that got me into biomechanics, and I was teaching reality-based, as people like to call it, although what basing something in reality, I'm not sure. If it's self-defense, it shouldn't be, you know, based. It's just reality training, isn't it? Reality-based yep. self-defense just doesn't sound right to me. Now I just call it martial arts, Eric. It's just my true martial arts, trained to fight like a true warrior. And so he got me into that, and I was teaching for a while, and then a good close friend of mine said, why don't you sign up as a PT to do a PT course? So, you know, I've been training people for years, and then I did it, and that's just basically, I gave up the security company because I'd been running my own for 4 years by that point. But I had no love for it. I had no love for violence. I have a love for the combative arts, but, you know, I don't love violence. You get hurt.
Right.
So, you know, like as I say, and I was just said it online the other day, you earn your bruises and cuts in the dojo so you can dodge them in real life, you know.
Absolutely.
So I did that, started on my journey doing PT out of my home, things like that. I relocated, got a job in the commercial, what I refer to as, I know a lot of folk talk about unconventional training as the modicum for what we do, but personally I think it's conventional or traditional. It's all the other stuff that's unconventional, you know, fixed line resistance and treadmills, that's unconventional to me. So I did that for, to be honest, I didn't last long because it was soul destroying for me, the way that these big commercial companies, you know, the way they handled themselves. They didn't care about their clients or anything like that. They just
hurt
people. So it hurt me to work in that industry. And now I've got my own beautiful little place with my beautiful partner, and we just do some great, great work there. You know, I could talk all day about the work we do in that gym. It's fantastic and so rich and rewarding. And thanks to Facebook, which, like everyone else, or not everyone else, but like most people, I'd just been using nonchalantly and for no good reason, really, other than to post pointless stuff. I discovered the guys from AFM, the Art of Functional Movement, and I saw these guys, and I'm looking and I'm going, wow, they're doing a lot of stuff that's very much very very similar to what I'm doing. So I reached out, and lo and behold, they were amazing guys. As you know, you've interviewed them both. Beautiful stand-up guys, and for the first time ever, you know, I've kind of cut out that part of the story where why I shunned the martial arts world and all that. Just, again, just people wanting you to fit into their box. But the AFM guys, they're just not like that. You've got a framework that they work with, a great little system, and you're free to express yourself within that system.
Well, and that's a great way to do things. And, you know, you really nailed it before when you were talking about going and working for a commercial style business, you know, with quote unquote fitness in it. And I'm in totally agreement with you. Most of these guys and girls are fully, you know what. And this is the problem I have, even when I have younger kids coming here to be trained, is normally they've beat the confidence right out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do. And you know, the thing is too, Douglas, is this, and I've made this charge many times, is a lot of people that quote unquote are trainers are not trainers. Number one, it's like every profession.
Yep.
You got people, you can hang a shingle. Maybe you've had a little success yourself. That doesn't mean you can translate that into other human beings. But here's the thing that really bothers me more than anything. They think just because they're young kids, they can beat the snot out of them and nothing's going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. They're, to me, more vulnerable than, say, a 25 to 40-year-old, because the 25 to 40-year-old, they've been bouncing around all over. Some have done all right for a while, but, you know, it's this, that, and the other thing. But when you take a young kid and either you take them and train them into the ground and then literally – beat them mentally into the ground, or you get them injured where it could end up be surgical repair, we got a big problem. And they don't understand the psyches of a lot of people where, and I see this in every age that comes here, and you know I talk to multiple people on and off the air. Mm-hmm. What I find the common denominator in most people are, they have no confidence. They've been either told they can never do it, or why bother with it. You know how many people said to me after I tore my bicep in Iceland, "You're not going to go back and do that nonsense anymore." And I was like, well, then I might as well just jump off a bridge, because I'm not going to know what to do with myself. And I said, this is me. This, you know, this is another thing I want your comment is, because this is going to be an interesting question I'm asking everybody now. Mm-hmm. This is what I've come to fruition with here. And I've known it all the time, but I love to hear people say, well, I went and worked out. I was like, yep, good. My contention, at least with me, and I know others that have agreed, see, the gym doesn't leave me. Just because I walk out of there, the steel and the stone and everything I'm doing is ingrained in my skin, in my head, in my blood, in my sinew, in my ligaments, in my tendons. And when people, I feel, understand what this is really about, mm-hmm. that you don't leave it behind you. All right, we're not pulling weights and walking out in the business. But here's the thing. Your outer appearance, I don't care how big, small, whatever you are, a trained athlete is going to look like a trained athlete, and people are going to know that. You're going to act different mentally. Your eyes look different to me. Your jaw, your face, everything. Just tell me what you think about that theory I've got.
It's absolutely fantastic, Eric, and I totally wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, one of the things I'm always saying to people that join the gym, the folk that have been with us for a wee while, they understand this, and that whole concept that you're talking about is that you can't leave it in the gym. You have to take it home. The best example for that for me is, like you're saying, it's ingrained in you. It's ingrained in me too. It's like I can have trouble getting to sleep at night just because thinking about it, you know. I don't say, not everybody needs to be like that, but the one thing everybody needs to be is they need to understand how their body's working. They need to understand where the dysfunctions are kicking in from everyday life. You know, something as simple as one of our members, she'd been coming for a while, and she came in and it was just her for a class one time, and I was like, tell you what, we're going to do a PT for you, because she is, 5 days a week sat at a desk. She grinds. This woman's in her late 50s, I think. I'm not sure exactly of Alison's age, but honestly, I used to teach Insanity. That's a whole other story, by the way, the training course for Insanity. Wow. But I used to teach Insanity for the commercial gym, and she would just be in the corner. But I changed everything, and she would listen, and she would use progressions, regressions, and she would just soldier away. So I just felt like there's more I can do for her. So I got her in for a PT, and this is what I mean by helping them to take it home with them, is we were able to spot a big kink in her structure, which, long story short, turns out, because obviously she's sitting for 8 to 10 hours a day, she hits a natural relaxed default in her chair, and you can see it all the way up her right hand side, all the way up. The left foot kicked in, the arm, everything, you could just see it. I've had other people where they've got twists in their spine and they don't even notice it. So and coming back to, a lot of people aren't even trainers, it's like you have to teach these people. And that's the biggest difference that people get when they come to our gym, is that we understand what we're doing, not only that, why we're doing it, and then also a little bit of science in amongst it. So it's about injecting that understanding into them, so that when they go home, they're thinking about how they move. They're thinking about how they sit, because it's so important. And every day, every single one of us has to put up with this. This this modern day dysfunction that is just inherent because of modern living. We don't we don't squat down to commune with our friends and family anymore. We don't squat down to go to the toilet. We don't have to climb or crawl. It's not an essential part of surviving anymore. So, you know, the main body of the training that we give people is to teach them that your health and fitness isn't about going and blitzing your body and adding more stress to what is already probably a stressful life. It's about first understanding what it is you need to address to recreate balance in your structure, your health, and also, of course, your mind. You know, it's all one big, beautiful circle. So these people have to take this home. And too many people, and especially in the commercial industry, they go, they do their 30-minute blast, and then they leave it there. That's it. They walk out, that's it. They're not thinking about it any other time unless they feel bad about picking up a cream cake. That's the only other time they'll think about it, you know?
Hey, look, I'll tell you what. You and I, I know you've heard our shows and all that.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
You'll hear different people, and Dr. Wong is one of the most brutal guys with testosterone, and the way he feels manliness has just been destroyed, whether it's through government or, and you know, when you're talking about, and we were just talking about, it doesn't stay at the gym, it's with you all the time, you eat it and sleep it 24/7. Look, one of the main reasons I started doing this, I mean, everybody knows the history, I'm sure, by now, but you lose a job, a very high-paying job, and I got to that point where I can't live this double life anymore, where I love physical culture so much, and it's just yanking at me one way, and then, you know, obviously you have a job, but, you know, thank God for the job in two ways. Number one was it afforded me to be able to keep doing this, even though we're getting pretty low on my life savings, but this has afforded me that, and having the programming background allowed me to put this whole podcast in myself. I was advised by people that were working for me at the time it was a waste of time. Well, I'd gone out and done a lot of research because that's what my job entailed. And I said, there's no way this is a waste of time. And I felt that I was very good. You know, we had to do a lot of public speaking in college and all that. And I was never nervous to the point where I would choke when I was up in front of, say, 60 people. And I really liked doing it because I always seemed to connect well with people. Well, here we are today. And one of the big things I've told people, especially I really try to push entrepreneurship with everybody because there's so many people that got so much to offer, but they're afraid to take that first step. And what I found with this whole thing was this. What could I pass along to people? Who could we bring in here that were so good at what they do that would influence people who are sitting on the fence or don't know where to go and find out how to get physically fixed? And this is what the whole concept of this show was. And not only that, I got, you know, I don't listen to a lot of news or things like that, but anytime you listen to stuff, it's always on the negative end.
Fear.
And you know something, Douglas, you and I both know, if you're sitting in a car for 20, 30 minutes commuting to a job, why do I even want to hear that garbage, all right? So what I said was, why can't we have 30 to an hour of some of the most, not only hard-hitting, but stuff to get you off your butt and really want to get back into the world again? And my whole feeling is this. Look, and I'll get right back to you. There's an awful lot of things going on in the world today I don't like. There's a lot more people that are not only hostile towards you for no reason, they're rude, they don't have manners, you know, they'll cut you off, flip you off, whatever they are. They're all brave in a car. And my whole theory is this with everybody, our family here is this. I want everybody to be as strong mentally and strong physically as you can possibly be. Now, I'm not saying go out and pick fights with people, but be able to defend yourself and be able to outthink the other party, because here's the deal. If the shit hits the fan, you're going to be a hell of a lot harder to kill, and your survival rate is going to be much higher. That's what I care about. Go ahead. I'll shift it right to you. Tell me what you think. Hit anything you want.
Well, just on your last point there, you're absolutely right. It's like you say, it's not about going out. It's not about going out and picking fights, you know, because if you're going to survive when everything hits, picking fights is not what you want to do. That's a quick way to get killed in that situation. It's one thing I've learned from reading from experienced people that have been trapped and surrounded in civil wars and stuff like that, that it takes people around you and connecting with them in a community, you know, to survive. You want to survive on your own, it ain't Hollywood, my friend. Hollywood. And it's just, and you know, people, I get, I'd love to touch on the so much weakness and, you know, like, I've heard your passion for this and your other podcasts, and I'm just, honestly, I'm just sitting there with my, clenching my fist and going, you know, you're right.
Well, I had a guy the other day that sent me an email, and he's been listening to us now for almost 2 years, and this was a gentleman, He's down in Jersey. I don't want to give his name without permission, but he had called me and left a message on my phone one weekend. And he said, I'm so-and-so, and I want to thank you for your podcast because I haven't trained in over 10 years. And you, due to some injury, he says, and I sold all my equipment, but I want to tell you, I am lifting again, and I'm starting to buy equipment. Now, when people are telling me that, man, that makes me feel great to know that what we did on a show here touched somebody's life so much that they decided to get back into the big stuff again. I get an email from him the other day because he's – and I called him. All right, to make a long story short, I called him back. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is Eric from Motivation and Muscle. And I said, yes, it is. And he's like – I can't believe you'd call me back. And I was like, why wouldn't I call you back? He goes, well, you got a show and all that. I said, that's not how I operate. So we talked for quite a while, and now we've befriended each other. So he sends me a thing the other day, and I don't remember what show it was. And it was probably – it was something that definitely happened on the outside. You know, you see all the guys trying to, like, stare you down and all that crap, and I just laugh at it, right?
Yeah.
And, but I don't know what happened that day. Maybe the guy said something to somebody, and then he looked at me, and I guess I said something to the effect, I wish he'd stare me down and come get me like that. And he said it was the funniest ass shit, but he goes, when you were – like you were saying with the clenched fist, he said, when you said that, he said, my blood blew out of me. He says, I felt the same, you know, that rush. So – when we as men and women are connecting like this and we're exchanging the type of ideas you and I are right now, anybody, whether, you know, we've got kids from like 10 to, and the oldest adult that I've ever talked to was 80 years old and in between. So when we've got people like that now and they're coming in with us, I don't see anything but positives on that. And I hope whether they go to both of us, hire us, buy whatever we got, whatever. My main purpose is this. Let's give you some solutions, and let's get you back your backbone and spine. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in two ways, believe me, and get you productive again and keep spreading the word here that we are talking about. And you know what? Like I said, and you know I said it to you before we came on the air, and I'll say it again to everybody, the goal is 1 million or more listeners this time next year.
Absolutely.
So, Douglas, it's yours, brother. Take it.
Yeah, I mean, that again, that's beautiful, Eric. It's even, you know, if you can touch people, it's the pebble in the pond effect, isn't it? Even if you can touch one, and especially in that way, where it's been such a strong connection, where you've motivated the guy in that way, I will guarantee you that in turn has helped to give him the ability to do the same for others. Even if it's not a professional pursuit for him, you know, I always like to say the pebble in the pond. Those ripples just spread out, because there's so much coming back to what you were saying about 30 minutes in the car, you know, there's so much fear. It's fear for breakfast, fear for lunch, fear for dinner, you know, that is just fear, 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 fear. It's never ending, and people are pumped full of it. We deal with a lot of kids, too, that are told that this isn't the right way. They believe that just running, sport, that's the way. They're scared of doing anything outside of that, you know. Last night, for instance, we trained from 6-year-olds all the way up to, I mean, I've had a woman in her 70s with MS.
Awesome.
In fact, interesting, actually, I'll shift over to that just now, is she was the perfect example of fear. She'd been told by the doctors, she'd been given up on, basically. They'd said, nah, you're done, you're finished.
And
she came to me and tried me, and what fantastic advancements we've been making. But she was still, the commercial attitude and the commercial medical profession, which is very much money orientated, we don't need to even beat around the bush with that, still had their claws in her. And
yep.
Unfortunately, they dragged her back in, and the last I heard, she'd fallen over and broken her hip, fallen over, you know, which is exactly what we were working towards not doing. So when we talk about functional training, you know, that's functional training. You know, in her case, we want to train you so, A, you don't fall over. B, if you do fall over, you can get back up with relative ease without having to call an ambulance, you know. Or if you're a cyclist, I want to make you a better cycler. If you're a power lifter, I want to make you a better power lifter. You know, I'll fit any mould with basic principles, essentially, especially about structure, which I listened to Paul's podcast, and you know how he feels about structural integrity of the human body, you know. We're very akin that way. It's so important, and it's the first thing always that we'll look at before applying any stress. It's just see how they stand, see how they move, see how they squat, you know.
Yeah.
All the basics, all the conventional, traditional type of training, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So we want to help to eliminate fear through this type of modicum. Like, you don't need to be scared of getting old.
I know.
You know?
Well, you know what it is too, Douglas? It's this. The human body is so resilient, and it can do so many things at whatever age. But the whole thing is, see, when people like you and myself and everybody else with the show here, you know, you got to see how they stand. You got to see how they squat. You got to see how they walk. You got to see how they hold their head. Because if you and I are right on the same page here, I've said this before, whether they're texting or they just had, and you can tell people that are beaten down, watch them when they walk. They're all looking down. I learned in martial arts when I was 13 years old, two things. Never walk with anything in your ears, meaning that you can't hear.
Yep.
And number two, never walk with your head, your eyes looking down, because we both know the head's going to take you wherever someone pushes on it down.
Yeah.
So these things were stressed upon me at a very young age. Now, did I realize a lot of it back then? Yes and no. You know, you know, a 13-year-old, you're learning how to weightlift, you're fooling around with White Lotus, all kinds of different things. It's just I wanted to get my feet in the water everywhere I could get it, because I felt at the time – the more knowledge I could garner, the more people I met, it would be much better. And the learning experience, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I got, especially what I'm doing, I got to be very careful about spreading myself thin, too.
Absolutely.
And by that, I mean, how can I get good to go back and get that 418-pound stone, clean it off the ground, and walk it 50 meters if I'm doing 10 other things with it? It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So you've got to learn how to somewhat take whatever you – and I'm not saying being a specialist, because I think that's got a lot of drawbacks too. But you've got to do the things that are going to enhance the main goal here. Now, what do I do to circle the wagon, so to speak, which would be the stone? Well, we talked about basics. You know, you got to squat, you got to deadlift, and you got to do some form of a press, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The close grip bench press has worked they work very good for carrying stones, because, you know, it lays so hard on your heart and especially in your breastbone area that accentuates the thing. So what you have to be is, as I always say, a steward of strength. You have to either go out and train with people, go out and garner your information. And the biggest thing is you got to not be afraid to experiment and train on your own. I'm a big proponent of learning yourself the best by going out and doing it on your own. Now, I've run into good and bad with that with people. Some have the disposition to do it. Some have the ability. Others need to have other people giving them the rah-rah and pushing them. What are you going to do about it? Everybody's personalities are different. But for me, where I learn the most about everything, I've read plenty of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I've listened to plenty of people. I've met tons of people in the industry. But going out there by yourself in the harshest conditions has been my teacher, period. Now,
absolutely.
I'm set up for this, though. See, that this is a genetic thing with me, obviously. I mean, obviously a lot of this is learned, but my personality and my disposition and my tenacity and my action-oriented ways work very well with this. This is conducive. Now, I'm also not going to say I haven't had problems, because anybody that tells you you've gone out there and it's been perfect is not telling you the truth. I mean, I've had a rate of failure extremely high out there, but I've had a rate of success, in my opinion, that's been better. Mm-hmm. And secondly, don't let anybody kid you that they've wanted to throw in the towel. There were many a nights where I was failing miserably. I just couldn't get going, it seemed like, you know. And then other nights, it doesn't matter what you throw on the bar or a stone. It's like, it's magic. It just pops up no matter what. I can tell you a million times. I've said it on the show. I'm my harshest critic. I mean, I was yelling stuff at me that I wouldn't yell at anybody. I mean, okay? And then secondly, I'd be walking out and said, I'm done with this shit. I quit. I wouldn't even be in the front door of the house and I'm ready to go next time. And I'll send it right to you, but... And, you know, this is what goes on with people that are really, really dedicated, and training is in their DNA. This happens, man. You're a human being. You're going to go through a lot of emotions out there. I mean, I've had times, seriously, I've had times where I was, like, broken on my knees, man, mm-hmm. where I was, like, almost crying because, you know, like I always say, bleeding the dojo, because when you go out in the field, there's no time for that stuff. Absolutely. So if that's going to happen – do it there, all right? But I've had instances where I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm not getting anywhere, whatever. All right, take it, and we'll get into more.
Yeah, cool. I mean, yep, failure's tantamount to excess, to success, not excess. Failure is to sometimes excess, as we've just talked about. But no, failure is totally part of success. Like you say, anyone that says if anyone knows if they've succeeded, that they've failed probably more times, but you know, the rewards of the success in the end massively outweigh it. And one of the biggest problems with that and failure is people, again, we come back to this fear that keeps everybody down. This fear, so much fear, even with you know, you're talking about going out and applying yourself to you can garner as much knowledge as you want, but I like to people like to say knowing is half the battle. Yeah. More of a knowing is more like 30% of the battle, because until you go out and apply that knowledge, you don't actually gain an understanding of that knowledge.
Yep.
So knowledge only becomes half the battle once you've applied it. So, you know, that's where I am with that one. And again, fear. People just want to get another certificate, get more knowledge. I'm not ready. I need this. I need that. And they just keep learning and learning and learning, but never really, truly learning. It's both feet in at the same time. Me and you are obviously the same that way. When we do something, we just jump it. We've not got a problem with that. We're predisposed to do that. Not everybody is, but, you know, I suppose that's why we're trainers and do what we do, is because we are. I used to like to say, you don't have to train every day and bust your gut and study this stuff inside out to be able to do it, but to be able to teach it and hopefully impart that attitude and that knowledge and that motivation onto others, you have to do it, you know. Someone that just sits around and again, you see it so much in the fitness industry, people, half the trainers leave it in the gym as well.
Yeah,
you know, they go home, they live their other life. It's like, huh? What?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. But a lot of them are taught that way, Eric. A lot of them are taught that way. Coming back to what I was saying about the insanity course that I was put on. I never paid for it. I can assure you of that. Yeah, I know. I mean, straight away, it gives you that thinking.
Yeah.
But it's worse than that, Eric. It is worse than that. This is what's going on, right? There was people, I have to say, I always tell this story because it's bugs me so much. There was about 30 people on that course, right? There was about a third of them had no experience in the fitness industry.
No, of course.
Quite a few of them, their only experience was they'd watched the Insanity DVDs.
Yeah.
Now, there's another factor which we'll talk about, but they walked out of there, every one of them, because they paid their money, walked out into the world ready to go out and hurt people. with a certificate saying that they can do it. Now, on that course, Eric, because I'll never remember, there was a question about the kinetic chain, right? And being biomechanically minded that I am, they asked about the kinetic chain, and it was, what is the first... what's the first thing, the first muscle to fire off in this movement? And straight away, I'm like, that, the calf. Or the first major muscle, I think it was, I'm like, the calf. You know, you get gastrocnemius, I think I said, and, you know, everybody kind of looked at me, I'm like, the calf muscle. And they went, no, the quad. I'm like, it's not, it's not. No. And I remember having that very, very brief argument with the master instructor. And
yeah.
And they just said, no, you don't teach people. I was like, well, whoa, hold on, put the brakes on.
Yeah, well, you're in the wrong, right. It's master marketing.
Crazy.
That's all they're doing. They don't want teachers. They just want you to take what's on that disc or download and stick to the principle of that, sell it. That's what it all is. But, and, you know, this is where we started in the beginning here. This is where people get damaged. They drop out and they never come back again. And when you're talking about a fear-based society to begin with, and then you've got all these fear-based lifters, trainers, everything. You know, it's funny because we get into this stuff all the time. One thing I've been doing a lot of, well, obviously I do a lot of heavy pulls, overhead, all that.
Yeah, but strong guy.
I have a Yes's glued hand machine, which everybody knows. That works the spinal erectors. You can use a bar, you know, behind your head, all that. Big believer in that. If anything, I'll sit there and just pump that back up. But people don't understand about the chain. And here's another thing that a lot of people understand. Now, you're talking calves exploding them out, which you rarely hear anybody talk about calf work, which is so vital to any type of lifting you're doing, sprinting,
I've bent
all that.
A few barbells doing calf work, Eric.
Absolutely.
Bent a few barbells.
But you know what the biggest thing is that I address, and we have Dr. Bob Weil on here, who's big foot guy, the whole thing. That's especially
a huge foot guy.
You know,
I'd love
your
to talk
feet,
to him.
Well, your feet are vital, man, and people overlook things like feet and calves and ankles, and all they're worried about is, well, I get it a lot with the younger kids here. What have you done to this point? I bench press. I said, good movement, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. And they look at you like, what? And I was like, good movement, but it's not going to, you know, we're not going to get where you need to be. This is a thing, I think this is a misunderstanding with all of this stuff, is this. When you're looking at anything with commercialized products on television, let's face it, the majority of them doing the work are either ex-athletes, some type of fitness models, et cetera, et cetera. This is not going to be the common guy or gal initially that's going to be subscribing to this product you're selling. So you might as well throw that right out the window. And the thing I don't like about it, but I understand – I mean, I got a degree in marketing and IT. I understand it big time. But let's be realistic here. The majority of people that are working 9 to 5 have 2.5 kids. And I know just from my sister who has 5 from 14 to 6, they're on the go all the time. If it's not track, volleyball, piano, et cetera, et cetera. How do you think you're going to get a person – and another thing, you know, we've talked about – Bud Jeffries and I had a great show on this a couple times. How many people are walking around and they think the strength of an individual is when they have a six pack? That could be that's the furthest thing from the truth to me.
Absolutely.
Because the majority of them have no hips, no thickness through the waist. Now I'm not talking about your belly hanging over your belt.
Not.
Okay? They don't want that. They don't think that looks good. It's not appetizing or pleasing. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this quick, and I'll get right back to you, is this. I've taken those iron boots, which I believe are one of the best pieces of equipment you could ever use, and I've gone back to the old style of it would be a leg raise to each side with the boot on and doing multiple reps with it, because here's my thing right now. I'm going to start doing a lot of articles because I don't see this anymore either. I'm going to start doing some articles on oblique training and hip training. And I'm trying something different, Douglas, for Iceland this time and for everything else. I'm going to try to thicken my hip girdle up as much as I can and see what the results will be in the next 3-4 months. I think that could be – look, the hands are the make or break for everything, the fingers to grab that stuff. Mm-hmm. But between the finger work I'm doing and the hip work, I'm going to get as explosive and fast as I can with thickening the waist. And everybody will say to me, that guy's out of his mind. He doesn't know – well, I got news for you. I'm not talking a belly. I'm talking about thickening – go out, yeah. Anybody that doesn't understand this.
Natural
go out and read
weight
about
belt.
The hip curl. Go ahead, take it.
Yeah, you want to build up that natural weight belt.
Yeah.
That's what takes it. The old time, you just look at the shape of the old time lifters and stuff like that. They were all about thickness in the waist core, whatever you want to call it. Good, strong trunks, especially if you're lifting stones, you know, like you say, the hips. I would highly recommend thickening up and strengthening the hips, because at the end of the day, you've got to scoop those bad boys underneath that rock at some point, and that's big transition up into clean, isn't it? So if those if those hips are giving it, you know, as we say in Scotland, can give it some laldy, then you'll be able to get it up there. I mean, the hips were back in the day, you know, they kept us alive. If your hips jammed up, you were eaten. If your hips boosted into action, you were off like the roadrunner, whoo, down the road,
boom,
you know.
You're gone.
Or ready to stand and fight, you know. But either way, that's the hips. Hips are very important.
Let me ask you this. Why has so many of the real sound – I got a feeling what you say. I know what I've said, but – why have we lost, like, with working hips, with the lower back, with the posterior chain, with – how come nobody dips anymore? How come nobody does bent rows anymore? How come we don't do pullovers anymore? Why is that all gone out of fashion? And we know those movements done – now, I'm talking done correctly. No jerking, no cheating, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Why have those – movements, other than I think we're the only ones that do them or talk about them, why they disappeared?
That comes back to the marketing aspect. You were talking about something referred to as the pink pound, sex sells. And, you know, real training isn't what sells if they show it on TV, you know. It's all body image, abdominals, a ripped six-pack abs, you know, stuff like that. And coming back to one of my biggest heroes, Sammo Hung, even in, you know, in his younger days, I'll refer people to him. I was like, he's one of the strong, flexible, powerful, little guy could do amazing things, and look at the shape of him. So that I'm really glad I had that influence at an early age, because I could see even then, like, okay, you don't need to look like Jackie Chan to do a lot of what he does. You know, obviously different body types call for different things. I don't think I would ever be much of a heavy stone lifter, but, you know, I would give it a try. I've certainly got that mentality. And funnily enough, I was down at Paul's gym the other week there, and he was talking about me being at that point, pound for pound, the strongest guy in the room. He looks over and he's like, and I think there was a guy that one of my members reckoned was around about 100 kilos. He's like, now, if it came to lifting an Atlas stone, such and such would win. And I'm quietly sitting there thinking, I'll take that bet. You know, I'm just that way driven, and lifting rocks and stuff, brilliant. But you know what, my frame, generally speaking, isn't built for that. So, you know, I went through a complex, Eric, when I was around about 28, all right?
Yeah.
I went through a body complex. People look at, you know, the people, and again, that commercial idea that going through a weight complex is either one extreme or the other. There's a grey area in between as well, and I fell in that grey area. I was 28 years old, roughly. I was about 9.5 stone. Now, I mean, I was quite lean and fairly shredded, but I was 9.5 stone. I'm just thinking, I'm a 28-year-old man. I worked on the door as well. That was still on the door then. And I just couldn't get it out of my head that I should be heavier. It wasn't even a case of muscle or anything. If I put on fat, I was a happy guy. You know, and I'll still to this day, if I do put it on any fat whatsoever, I'll be like, you know, I've got to earn that fat. I really have to earn that hard. But I went through a complex, and this was it's a good point to make, because this was a big turning point in my focus on training. I've always trained with bigger bigger guys almost always, again, I like to punch above my weight and not blow smoke up my own ass here, because I've got guys like sure. Paul, who's the same weight as me and is probably stronger, and he's certainly more flexible than me. But very rarely do I find guys my own size that can really put up a good challenge for me. So I always train with bigger guys. So I was training in this big gym, and I created myself a hybrid powerlifting bodybuilding set. And you know how people go, that's another thing that irks me, it's chest, back, legs, you know, buys, tries, chest, back, legs. It's like, dude, are you a pro bodybuilder? No. Right, well, you might want to think about switching up your routine a bit. So I went through all that, and what happened was I put on to the point where I was, and which was ridiculous because I was still small compared to most people, I put on a stone of solid muscle. And I managed to do it in, you know, round about 6 weeks. So it worked. I wish I'd written it down. I could have sold the program. it really worked. But I injured my right shoulder in the process.
Okay.
All right. And all that weight just went straight back off. Yep. I went back to natural size and weight. And it was then I realized, you know, I'll just be the best me that I can be. That was probably the biggest revelation for me in the physical culture, was I'll just be the best me that I can be, enjoy doing the things that I want to do, which is, for instance, now things like the Gada, or Mace, as it's more commonly known, you know. Especially the classical stuff. So that's why I got right into kettlebell training, structural body weight training, and other I call them conventional tools. Obviously I use dumbbells and stuff like that as well. Barbells. Sure. They don't come out as often, the barbells, but I do use them. But I spent years and years and years with, let's say, I bent a few barbells in my time.
I'll tell you what, Douglas, I'll be talking to you before then. We got to get you to come on that stone tour, man.
I would love that.
Well, you know what the whole thing is, I gathered out of that, besides you figuring out being the best you can be, your attitude for what you do comes flying through. And I'm a guy that's been doing it a long time too, and when you're talking to me, I'm thinking about stuff with me too. It's like
brilliant.
I can hear in your voice, you know, they use the word passion for all of us, but there's a passion with you, there's no doubt about it. But hear in your voice is you've got this, and I don't want to speak for you, but this is the way I'm interpreting you. Mm-hmm. If I had to explain you right this second, you've got an aggression through your voice, man, a power, a hunger, you can hear it. And those are the ingredients, in my opinion, to not only make you a champion, no matter whether you're in the competition field or not, but when you speak in that tone, that sometimes can get you through the hardest, roughest parts of your training and your life. And don't let anybody kid you when I say this, and I'll go right back to you. What we do in the gym, however you want to clarify it, outside yourself, I don't care, all right? What you do there is going to resonate in your life outside of there. Now, as I explained in the beginning, it's still with me all the time. But what I'm saying is I had Frank Klein, who I'll mention near the end. He was in college. He was by far one of the best teachers I've ever had in my life. And I had him for a good majority of my business classes because he was the head of the marketing department.
Uh-huh.
He said one day in front of everybody, and there probably was at least 60 people in one class, and he used to pick on me all the time. And I don't mean in a bad way, but being a weightlifter even back then, he was a coach for semi-pro football. So he, I, and another guy hit it off right off the bat because obviously he could see the physicality. So that was like the big icebreaker with him. And we took to each other big time, and he was fantastic guy. And I remember him saying one day in class, I said to him, don't be doing that all the time, will you? But he didn't care because he said it like it was. He said in front of everybody, because he called on me, explained something. He goes, if Eric takes his weightlifting and translates it to his personal life, business life, he said he's going to be one of the most successful people you'll ever meet. And I was like floored when he said that because I had only known him for a few months at that point. I just started there, et cetera, et cetera. And that's like when you're talking before, It's the same way. You will hear that tone, man. And tone to me resonates big time. It can be a positive tone or a negative tone. It's either going to get people inspired or get them to want to come along with you. When I say we are creating a revolution, believe me when I say that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is a revolution. This, I'm telling you right now, and I'll get right to you, I want to stress this to everybody. Not only is this a revolution, anybody that's been following me from the beginning, and I've got plenty of things from people, and I don't read them or anything like that, because we're just doing what we do, like as my chiropractor used to call me, silent strength. We're just kind of going along, making a little more noise, getting noticed, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the deal. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, or you do. There are big things happening in this company constantly, and if you've been looking at the growth of Motivation and Muscle, it blows my mind every day to think that one guy, pretty much with very little help through the last 2 years, has got us where we are today. And you know why? I'll tell everybody. Because there is no going back to the old life. There's no going back to that $80,000 a year job. It's gone. I still get contacts. No one's going to hire a guy that's been out 3 years, number one. And if they do, they're going to cut my salary in half.
Yeah.
I could no more sit in a cubicle now than I would let somebody beat me over the head with a baseball bat,
absolutely.
All right? It's not going to happen, all right? Secondly, I'm not in this, obviously, for the money. Obviously, I want to make a living and a good living, and I will. But I'll tell everybody, I'm living on a shoestring, barely, right? I have to make this thing go no matter what. And the thing is, this is all I know now, and this is all I want to do, and I will relate this to everyone. If there's something that you want to do and you have a job still, start it and get it going, and then you can make your move. But if not, I still say start it, do it, make your move, because this will be the most important thing you've ever done in your life. And I'm telling you right now, and I'll give it right to you, Douglas, your health is the most important thing. Screw the weights, screw the stones, everything. Health is paramount. The other stuff all comes along and builds you for the ride. Secondly, this, you can't be a good man to your wife, to your girlfriend, to your kids, unless you are healthy, mentally strong, and able to lead. I know in today's world, everybody they feel can do all the same things. That's a load of crap. That's why you have men and women. Women do things better than me, and I do things better than them. That's why I love my girlfriends, okay? But I don't care about that other stuff, all right? I don't enter that in. I had my nieces and nephews over there, and you'd love this. They're all into sports, and I'll make it quick. I have my one niece, Maggie, she's 9, and Danny, 6. They love going out in the back with me. I've got a special 15-inch tire, bricks, all kinds of neat little things. And there they are. You would have laughed yourself. I mean, these kids are out flipping a tire and having the time of their life, and I'm training them, and I'm teaching them in a way where they're not getting slammed over the head with it.
Brilliant.
You know, they're taking bricks and carrying them like farmer's walks. I've got them picking up the picnic benches where they'll get underneath with their hands and pick it up as high as they can and put it down. I got them pinch gripping the actual table. Step ups. Now, look it, and that's the thing with them. They love when I come over or anything like that because they're always grabbing me to do things with them. I love all that stuff. And the thing that I'm teaching them there not only is the physical culture, but being able to triumph over a little thing. Go ahead, take it. But you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Eric. And that's it's so important. I believe the work that we do with the younger kids is probably the most important, you know, for because what you can deliver through physical training is way above and beyond the physical training. You know, it's the mentality. Like, a good example is just the other day, one of the group, because we work with a lot of kids, and one of the groups of kids, we call it the outreach group, but they termed it disadvantaged kids. I don't like using that name, man. I mean, some of these kids are at a higher advantage of being able to do something in their life than kids that are in the system. They really are. They don't have the same fear, but they get treated like outsiders because of it. So, I mean, I was teaching them or talking to them about the Mace and like that. You know, it hasn't been around for as long as it's been around for no reason. I used to train warriors. is that one of the great things about it is that if you do it right, A, you won't hurt yourself. Everyone's scared of it. So straight away, getting them to swing it is a great way to break down the first fear barrier. And then we can move on to talking about the focus it takes.
Yep.
You know, if you focus, then it becomes actually quite a relaxing thing to do. Until you get into, like, if you've seen me swinging that, the big huge mace that I've got, yeah. You know, yeah, you still need to focus, but it's not quite as relaxed. Certainly not for me at the moment. I'll get there, though. I'm looking to one-hand that bad boy in a couple of months' time.
Wow.
That's what I'm aiming for with that one. But I'll come back to it. I've come full circle and I'm going back to the really light complex work to really get my shoulders into place. But anyway, I digress. So teaching these kids, and it's beautiful because they just sit there and listen. They're so attentive. They're so willing to learn if you speak to them the right way. Talking about tone again, you know, not injecting fear into them with your tone, injecting confidence and strength into them with how you speak to them. Look them in the eye when you do it, you know.
Yes, sir.
Such simple things. So the mentality, that's told them. And the point is, I was talking to them about the focus and how you can then get into enjoying it and relaxing. And even a meditative state transfers over into so many things. So I don't just, what I do is I'll talk to them about the mace, but then I'll start to directly relate it to using it in their life. Because I know probably a good few of them are never ever going to pick up a mace after their 10-week block with us. But if I can use that mace to instill the right kind of mentality and strong thinking about when they uptake on any task that they want to do.
Yep.
And, you know, it comes back to what you said about, you know, you encourage people to be entrepreneurs. I've actually, entrepreneurs are a word I'm not mad keen on because I think it adds almost a sparkly, you know, almost untouchable effect to doing what you want to do for people.
Yeah.
Just do what you want to do. You know.
I love it.
Instilling that in kids through physical culture is massive. I mean, like I say, some of these kids will only have for 10 weeks, so there's very little we can really truly do for them physically for 1 hour a week for 10 weeks, and sometimes they're in, they're out, and they're not always there. So the mentality, installing the right mentality for these kids is absolutely the most important thing. Trying to strengthen their mind, because like I say, and I teach kids martial arts now as well, and my own bow, which looks very similar to every other bow, but the bow I came up with is all about that. You can't forge the body without a strong mind. And that's what the bow stands for, you know. It's like forge the body with a strong mind. And there's not enough of that. There's not enough of that. And then you've got these people that don't have the mentality, that are going and hurting themselves in the gym week in, week out, because they think, and they're guilt-tripping themselves into thinking that's what they need to do. Again, coming back to fear, fear, fear.
Totally. And you know what the thing is? Like right now, I'll tell you something. I'm looking for anvils right now. This winter, I'll be outside in the snow with that anvil. If I can locate a good one, I'll be sitting out there with a big hammer beating the snot out of a piece of steel when it'll be colder. Look, the bottom line is here. What you're instilling in people is exceptional. It's excellence. I mean,
same
thing we try to do here. And I can't wait till we do another show, because I want to really get into the whole bit of excellence with you, because obviously you and I think quite a bit on the same lines, and it'll be a very interesting exchange because we're lacking that big time now. We don't have a lot of leaders anymore. We got a lot of cream puffs out there that don't want to hurt anybody's this, that, and the other thing. Well, I got to tell you something, Douglas. I've had my butt broken hard.
Yeah.
My father was a very hard disciplinarian on me. I didn't like everything he said to me, but you know something? If my dad was still alive and he would enjoy what I'm doing so much, I would love to tell him, thank you for everything you did for me, whether I liked it or not at the time, because maybe he wasn't right with everything, but boy, he was damn right most of the time.
Yeah.
And these are the type of men and women we need in our lives, not only people like us the kids and the older people, because a lot of people have no respect for age. They treat them like, hey, you know, you're here now, but you're gone tomorrow. That is mm-hmm. not the way to conduct yourself. No. We don't do that here. Nobody does that here. Yeah, no, I want to do that. But look, we're at time. Summarize anything you like to. Give out all your info again. I'll give mine. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, just as a punctuation to that, that's a great point about your dad, Eric. It's awesome. And, you know, you're doing his work. You're passing on his energy to others. So, you know, big pat in the back for yourself, man. That's what you're doing, you know.
Thank you, sir.
I guarantee you his energy is just like, whoo-hoo, vibrating with excitement through you right now. In fact, you can hear it. You can hear it, you know. Talking to you, sir, inspires conversation, so I can't wait to do it again.
We will. We're going to do it next month if you got time.
I've always got time for you, Eric. No two ways about that. It's been brilliant speaking to you. Again, if anybody is even remotely interested in talking to me, then absolutely have no hesitations about hitting me up. Again, Facebook's kind of the best way to get me, I suppose, isn't it always with a lot of people these days? functional-living.co.uk is the website. There's loads of cool information on there about what we do, about art functional movement as well, which just fits beautifully into the middle of our ethos, which is the diagram you see in the front page of the website, or if you might see it in some of my videos as well on the wall. That's a whole other hour of conversation, and it just links into everything. I see everything we've been talking about, Eric, that the logo on the wall, that's it represents that, everything. So you can see all that on the website, more about what we do. You can access videos from there or the social links from there. The Facebook page, Origin Arts, if anyone's interested in the movement aspect of things, I've got loads and loads of movement videos on a massive catalogue of movement videos on the Origin Arts, right back to even my first ever mace, which was a single side loaded twist lock barbell, which I just shared again. I saw it the other day and shared it again. So the Origin Arts Facebook page. There is another one that was a big tattoo parlor. But ours is the one with the little kind of Vitruvian Man logo, if people want to find it. And the email, functionalliving@hotmail.co.uk. .com.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Like I say, I'm going to be launching my own Macy's very soon and try to sell them abroad. It's become a labour of love now, building my own Macy's. So I've got a nice clean design for them that I'm just perfecting. And the website, let's say, is ready to go. There's just no Macy's to buy. That's VitruvianMace.com. I build them all myself. It's amazing what you can learn from YouTube if you apply it.
Yeah.
Going back to that again, the knowledge is useless unless you apply it.
Well, I told you, to build this podcast, I bet I got 1,000 hours out on YouTube.
Oh, easy, I bet.
So I worked my ass off like you. You learn, try, fail, try, fail, you know, the whole deal. Douglas, you got everything then?
Yeah, just again, thanks for having me. It's a beautiful thing you've got going here, and I'm really happy to be part of the whole community.
Well,
it's great to find all you guys, come out of the shadows and find you all and connect with you all. Train with as many of you as I can and learn from as many of you as I can. Such a sharing, caring community. It's awesome.
And like I said, welcome to the family. This is Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to Motivation Muscle, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, our 30-day program too. Incredible stuff. All you got to do is leave an email, and you can get our two biggest products right now for free. Leave an email, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Now that we got Douglas on here, we are going to have more and more of the conversations we have. We're looking at the end of the year. There's possibly going to be done the Best of Motivation Muscle. That will be another streaming 24/7 program. Wait till you hear that. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, obviously. Check everything out. Want to go out to Stitcher and iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. I appreciate this. And you know that we're streaming. And just some of the directories we're on is Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and you should have the capability in your car, if you have a brand new car, to get podcasts in through the radio. Aha, AHA, you'll get Motivation and Muscle. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Douglas and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration, wisdom, whatever. Five words can change your life. As my mom used to say to us, and still will say it to us to this day, if you see someone, never be afraid to give them a smile or a hello. That might be all they get for that day. Also, if you're going to go out and lift today, lift it, bend it, crush it, break it, pull it, press it, squat it. If you're going to grab stones, grab them and turn them into dust. I've got the guys coming in about 40 minutes. They're going to be doing a lot of tire flipping, and we're going to be getting into some deadlifts and some sandbag stuff, too. Our good friend Ken Nowicki sent me some very nice stuff from Cerberus, which he is the North American distributor. They're out of Scotland, too, my friend. And we're going to load one of the sandbags up with their new bag, and we're going to run that today and film it. So that's going to be pretty interesting. Also, too, as I said, we got the Yahusa Steel Stone, which has got domination and blood red on both sides. We dominate. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. And as I always say, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by those three words. No one will ever clip our balls here. And as Russell Furr says, who's a guest and has been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That said, for the next 30 years, I promise. What a compliment. Thank you, Russell. I'll leave you with a few things before Douglas and I sign off. Number one, I talked about Frank Klein. Words like this constantly spoken to us in school. Repetition, 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 which is big. Hell and as my dad used to say to me, among many things, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for many years, we lost him 2 years almost to the day of cancer, who basically was like a father figure to me, being I lost my dad many years prior to meeting John. John was very instrumental in encouraging me more than anybody to really push with this business because he felt I had the talent to do it. He was an entrepreneur, too, and he used to say two words to every patient he would walk to the door: keep smiling. If that doesn't put a grin on your face, then you're probably dead from the head down, literally. I had days where, man, I was like, man, he'd say that, and I swear my day turned around 360. Keep smiling, everyone. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And believe me, tell 100 of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the thing right in. It's the most important thing. You all have greatness in you.
Yep.
Believe me, just too many people have told you you're nothing. Well, you're all something here. You're all part of our family. Douglas has been a part of the family, even though he hadn't been on yet. Welcome to the family, Douglas. I'm honored to have you with us, sir.
Yeah, man, honored to be here. It's just great to hear you talk, and it's even better to speak to you, Eric. It's been fantastic.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So we're going to have Douglas on a Saturday in November. So, Douglas Graham, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll be on next month, but you got the weekend now. I'm going to try to have this show up tomorrow.
Awesome.
You got the weekend. Go out and live it. Live it and breathe it. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.